This podcast is brought to you by Learn Prime. Hone your development skills at learn.thoughtbot.com.
You know, I'm just realizing that this room has a whole wall of wallpaper that's just like a blue cable knit sweater.
Yeah.
The hell?
Or like a blanket. I think my parents have a blanket that looks exactly like that at home.
I'm just going to assume this is a Canadian thing. Hey everybody, this is Mark and Gordon, Build Phase, live in Ottawa. We're here for NS North 2014. So, impressions of Canada.
Guitarists really like...
Knocking on Heaven's Door. Yep.
Lots of that.
It does seem to be the only thing they can play.
Uh-huh.
Empirical evidence.
Yeah, 2 out of 2 guitarists were playing Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Mm-hmm.
People say sorry a lot. I literally tripped a waitress in a bar... And she apologized to me.
Yeah, I thought that was really more of like a, like an urban legend.
Right.
Or no, people were just exaggerating that Canadians apologize a lot. But no.
Yeah.
It's a legitimate just like, it's almost like a sentence filler. Yeah. Like, I don't necessarily know what to say now, so I'm just going to apologize.
Yeah. Just like
just
a default state, really, is what it is. Like.
Just sorry.
Yeah. What else? Poutine's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Had a lot of that.
When in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Do as the Canadians do.
I found out that the people from Montreal are super pissed that that's a Canadian thing now, because Rene Ritchie was very adamant that it's a Montreal thing that the rest of Canada channeling Tony right now. it's a Montreal thing that the rest of Canada just stole.
Hmm.
Almost entirely just like stole poutine and just ran with it.
But I would too. I mean, it's gravy on fries with cheese curds.
It's delicious.
What's not to like?
Big fan.
Fries, good. Yep. Gravy, good.
Cheese curds,
good.
Weird, but good.
It goes well together.
Yeah.
It's just nice getting out of America for a bit.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's kind of enlightening, I think.
Yeah.
Like being in Canada.
I like Ontario too. Where are we? Ottawa. I like Ottawa too. Hold on.
Is it still Saturday?
No, I don't know. I don't know what day it is.
We should point out that it's like 11:30
at night. Yeah, it's literally 11:45 at night.
And we've been conferencing pretty hard.
And drinking.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, Ottawa's a cool city. This is my second time. I came to NS North last year and really enjoyed it. Just being in the city, meeting a bunch of cool people. Coming back this year was great. I think a third of the conference was returning attendees from last year.
It's pretty good.
Which is neat. I think they had like 120 people, 45 were at the conference last year, so it's cool seeing all those people again.
Last year was the first year,
right?
Yeah. So what was the big difference between year one and year two of NS North?
Experience, honestly. Dan and Phil, like, they did a great job putting stuff together for the first year, but it had problems, and they weren't like... showstopper problems, but they were, you could see the bumps, you know what I mean? You could see where stuff wasn't completely ironed out as well as it should have been. This year was the same concept. Like, they didn't change the core concept of what the conference is, right? At all. It had so many of the same elements. So they didn't change that stuff, but what they did do is they just ironed the whole thing out.
So differences from last year, it's more like the problems that happened last year are just going to happen the first time you ever put on a conference because they're just unforeseen issues.
It's edge cases is what it is. It's like you can hypothesize about how things are going to work, but until you do it, you're not going to know. You know what I mean? The venue last year was great, and it seemed like an awesome choice, right? And it was. It was really, really great. They were right in the Ottawa Convention Center, which is this huge glass... bean-looking shape thing. And then they have, like, rooms inside. But the thing is, so we were in this room last year, and it was a huge room, but it was too big. It was so big that it made you feel like everything got kind of swallowed up just by the size of the room. Mm-hmm. There were literally, like, 20-foot ceilings, and the room was, like, half again as wide, as big as it needed to be. So the presenter's stage kind of, like, looked small. And then there's just so much free space that it kind of swallowed everything up. Versus this year at the museum, so this year's the venue was at the Nature Museum. The Nature Museum?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Nature Museum here in Ottawa. And it was mainly done in, it mainly took place, what was that room called? The Salon? It was like...
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. It's you know, think a banquet room. That's exactly what...
But huge windows, like huge windows, huge ceiling, really nice, really warm, great lighting, and it just like looked classy.
Yes.
Right? And everything just fit. The stage and the, what do you call those? Screen. Like, for the projector, right? Like, it all fit in the space a lot better than last year, where you had this like huge, flat wall and this comparably smaller screen just kind of, like, there in the wall.
I appreciated that the main seating was circular tables that seated about 8 each.
Right.
Because you could sit in different combos, you know, people get up and they shuffle back in and they sit in a new configuration and you get to meet all kinds of new people. It forces you to interact.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a...
Yeah.
I thought that was nice.
Yeah, so that's a really good example of something that they didn't change from last year, because that's exactly what they did last year. Last year, the entire conference took place in this one room, and it was just circular tables, and they actively encouraged you to change what table you were sitting at, and to spend the time between talks getting to know the people at that table. Mm-hmm. And so they did not change that, right? They just kept the circular tables. That worked, right? That worked very, very well. And the keynote this year was at a theater setting. So Don Melton gave the keynote address, and I was actually really concerned that that's where we were going to spend the entire conference. And it was interesting and cool, and like it had a nice projection set up, and the seats were really, really comfortable. But it just would have been a much different conference if it was like, you know, stadium theater style seating. And I was worried about that's where they were going. But then show up for the first full day, and we're back in the circular seating stuff. So it was good to see that they kept with that.
The first night was great that they just, like, set up that bar right among the exhibits. And, like, I'm drinking, like, a Canadian beer beneath, like, a T-Rex, which is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah, I really like, and they did this last year, too, but they have this focus on community, and they have this focus on that the conference is good, but a huge part of the conference is an excuse to meet new people and hang out with old friends and the social aspect of a conference, you know what I mean? So, you know, there's like this concept of a hallway track of a conference, right? So like if you have a multi-track conference, like old school WWDC, right? You used to have like a iOS track and a Mac track, right? So you can basically, they program iOS topics and Mac topics simultaneously, so you kind of had to decide between one of those two things. And this idea of like the hallway track is this, instead of going to the talks, just hang out in the hallways and meet people and talk about stuff and meet colleagues and try to get new ideas from all that stuff. And they've kind of always built that in, you know, you don't need like a hallway track because they literally, essentially, you know, you get shoved out into a bar at one point, you know what I mean? At one point of the conference, the entire conference literally picks up and moves down the street to a bar that'll fit us all, and we sit down, and then, you know, you hang out and drink tickets and that kind of stuff, so... Mm-hmm.
If that was their primary goal for the conference, it's like mostly about the community and interacting with other people, then they knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Like that part they did really well. Yeah. I met a lot of great new people this year.
Yeah.
I mean, I basically only knew the ThoughtBot crew and, you know, maybe a few other folks that I met last year at WWDC. Right. But like that part really, really worked.
Yeah.
If I had to complain, and I hate to complain because it was so well done.
Yeah.
It's just that I would have preferred more technical talks this year. Mm. And maybe my expectations weren't aligned properly with what this conference is all about. But I was just expecting, you know, to put it bluntly, more code.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm slipping into a Canadian accent for some reason. Maybe I'm just tired and I've been around it too much.
Yeah.
But, there were a lot of great topics, like a lot of great things to learn, but not enough programming related, which, like, it's what we all do. Like, I feel like that should be the main draw.
Yeah, no, I agree. We've talked about this before, but I do get the sense that there's a hesitancy to... Is that a word? Hesitancy?
I don't know. It is now.
Sure.
Let's roll with it.
You know what I mean. There's this hesitancy to dive into technical topics for some reason in Objective-C, just kind of like overall. Like, this is a relatively technical podcast, and we're way outside the norm because of that, you know? Mm-hmm. Most podcasts in this space actively stay away from technical stuff. I feel the same way about talks. The vast majority of talks that I've seen have been non-technical. They've been business skills. They've been inspirational. They've been about community and like theory and stuff like that. And that's awesome. But I don't know why we can't have both of those things, right? Like, I really don't know why we can't have hard technical talks alongside, you know, the softer, like, inspirational stuff and business stuff. And because it's not even like hard business stuff, it's like more interesting things, but like, you know, who do you want to be as a company, like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Which is inspirational in its own right, you know.
So I don't have a good frame of reference because I've only been to this conference and WWDC last year, technical. Which is obviously going to be a technical conference. Yeah. Like, it's, you know, new APIs and you need to know about them. So are there other conferences that sort of do this better? Do you think that it's like something, it's like if you're not at WWDC and you're not an Apple engineer, our community just kind of tends to shy away from doing these overly technical talks for some reason. Is there some correlation between like non-technical talks and non-technical podcasts in this community?
It's hard to say. I think that the conferences that get the kind of press that NS North gets tend to be more inspirational than technical. Singleton, Second Conf. I think Second Conf is relatively non-technical. Singleton is definitely has a non-technical feel to me. Like, that's my public... That's my perception of it, anyway. Mm-hmm. NS North is in that direction at this point, right, of being more of a non-technical conference. I have the same concept of Second Conf, but I'm not sure if that's accurate or not. But then there's other stuff like 360 iDev is a multi-track conference. It's a bigger conference. I think it's three or four tracks. You know, like, I have friends that Joe Chaplinsky, last year, Joe Chaplinsky, who gave a talk at NS North last year, gave the same talk at 360 iDev, right? Or an iterated version of that same talk. But that was my favorite talk at the conference last year. But he gave a talk about more of an inspirational thing, right? So he gave this kind of inspirational, businessy talk last year at NS North and then gave it again at 360 iDev. But then one of my other friends, Brian, gave a talk about Jenkins, right? And setting up Jenkins and Jenkins as a CI server. So I think there definitely are conferences that dive into the technical stuff, but I'm not sure why it's limited to these kind of more, I don't want to say more traditional because I'm not sure what that actually means, but, you know, like 360 iDev is a bigger multi-track conference. I don't know why we can't have those kind of talks at a smaller conference. I guess it's just a mass appeal thing. Like, if you're only catering to 120 people, can you pull off technical talks when you're not giving people a choice to not go to the technical talk? Hmm. You know what I mean? People will just not come to the conference at that point. So, like, you're not giving people a choice between Jenkins or inspirational thing. If you're super in, like, this place where you want to learn more about CI servers, then you're going to go check Jenkins, right? But if you're not, and it's just something that legitimately isn't interesting to you, you would pick the inspirational talk. But if that's not an option, if that same Jenkins talk is part of a single-track conference like NS North, what's your alternative as an attendee? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So perhaps we're just seeing some phenomenon of, like, conferences trying to get off the ground. And in order to, like, attract more people, they're, you know, maybe sort of choosing, like, it's not a great term, but you know, softer topics to appeal to like a larger audience.
Yeah, but I don't know that it's about attracting more people, because they're, MS North is very adamant about staying at about the size that they are, right? Like 100 people is kind of the number that they put out there, right? So this is the first, they sold out this year. They didn't sell out last year. They sold out this year. And
but it's not like they sold out in a day.
No, I mean, but what's the difference between, like, realistically, what's the difference between selling out in a day and you know, a couple weeks or whatever, however long it took them to sell out? If you sell out, you sell out. Right, it doesn't actually matter if you sell out overnight. I don't think it's necessarily about attracting more people. I don't know, like, I feel like I'm playing devil's advocate here a little bit, because I don't necessarily believe in what I'm saying. I don't think that you have to draw the line. I do think that you can do hard technical topics, and you can do them well, and you can do them in a way that appeals to a larger audience. Technical talks don't have to be code walkthroughs, you know what I mean? Which is how a lot of people approach them, and it's how a lot of people think about them in their mind. Technical talks don't have to be code walkthroughs, just like technical podcasts don't have to be, you know,
like reading code into a mic.
Reading code into a microphone, exactly, you know what I mean? I do think that you can approach the topic in a way that's interesting, and in a way that is entertaining, and in a way that attracts a larger audience than just, you know, and then write this line, and then write this line, and then write this line, you know? But it's harder to do a good technical talk than it is to do a code walkthrough, right?
Right.
You can, if you have sufficient knowledge of a framework, it's very, very easy to be like, top 10 things you need to know about UIKit, you know? And it's just like, which doesn't sound like a horrible topic.
No, that sounds like a great talk. Like, I'd go to that immediately.
But you get like, so it's kind of a bad example, but you get my point, right? Like, that's like, it's very easy to throw together a bad talk about something that you have sufficient knowledge on. But it's much, much harder to try to take this knowledge and generalize it and find the actual interesting parts of it, and to find like a conversation about it, you know? And I don't think that the Apple talks from WWDC are a good example of this. I have this sense of WWDC being more of an educational setting, right? Less of a conference. I do think that conferences should, at some level, just be inspirational as opposed to educational. You can walk out having both of those. You can walk out learning stuff and then also being inspired to create new stuff. But I think that the focus at WWDC is on educating people about the new frameworks.
Right.
And that's important.
Yeah.
Very, very important.
Very much like a knowledge dump. Whereas like a conference like NS North is more about like, we're going to talk about things that are going to get you talking amongst yourselves. Literally conferencing with one another, you know, about these topics.
Yep.
Which in that regard, I guess, I understand like, maybe you don't want to go down the road of the technical talk. I think it's also that like, you know, none of these speakers really knew what the other speakers were going to write about. So maybe they're thinking, assuming most everyone is a professional developer, you know, they do code all the time. Maybe they don't want this. Like, maybe we should lead them in a new direction and, like, get them thinking about other things, which I get. But, like, the value of something like this, like, the reason for me to fly out from SF is that I want to get other people's perspectives on what I do every day. Like, I want to hear other people's opinions on MVVM, you know, new technologies. Like, what are you using? What are you thinking about these problems that we're all trying to solve?
Yeah.
That's interesting to me.
Yeah. And so part of that is going outside the organized conference and just hanging out with attendees, right? And a lot of those conferences that kind of interaction can and a lot of times will happen at, you know, the bar afterwards, you know what I mean? You happen to sit down next to someone and you're like, oh shit, I saw you did this thing, you know what I mean? Like, maybe you know, maybe you don't, but you start a conversation and everybody there is in the same field. Everybody there is dealing with the same problems. Everyone there is, you know, has this commonality of being an iOS or at least an Objective-C developer. And so getting into conversations about iOS, Objective-C, OS X, whatever, is not super difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like, you were just telling me this morning that you went up to Rick Fillion and demanded Vim key bindings in NetNewsWire.
Yes.
Yeah. And it turned into like a discussion of the development of NetNewsWire.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, that kind of thing doesn't just happen on like a Tuesday night where I live. You know what I mean? I don't go to my local bar and run into guys like Rick Fillion or guys like any of the people here at the conference, honestly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Those kind of interactions, the kind of interactions that I've had the past 3 days, they only happen in this kind of a setting.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, you know what I mean? It's like this or WWDC, which is like this, kind of, but on a bigger scale to where it's kind of weird, you know what I mean? You're just like, you're literally just running into people at bars, and you may recognize them, or you may happen to overhear that they're huge nerds, right? And so then you start conversations. But having an outlet for those kind of conversations is huge.
Maybe that's what they're banking on. Like, maybe they're anticipating that you're going to go out and, you know, get dinner, sit at a restaurant, and talk about the things.
They are. Like, I'm not... I think that that's definitely part of the core concept of the conference. But I still don't think that that means we can't have some of that in a more organized fashion as well. I think that if we did more technical topics, if you had good technical talks, then that would increase that kind of communication outside of the talks, right? Like, if, for example, there was a talk about testing, the first thing I would do would be try to find that person who gave that talk at a bar afterwards, and I would just try to have that conversation, right? Like, you're going through the same crap, or you're done going through the same crap that I'm going through right now, right? And based on whatever was said, like, maybe I agree, maybe I disagree, but that starts a conversation about that specific topic. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if all the talks are about businessy stuff, then you're not creating conversation starters into the more technical stuff. The conversation starters, the conversations about the more technical stuff have to come from somewhere else, right?
Right.
So maybe just they'll happen, but maybe it just takes longer to get there.
Yeah, WWDC feels very much like, come into this room and Apple's going to put some words in your brain. Right. Like, it's not really like open to discussion so much as like,
right,
that's cool. And partly because, like, you know, we haven't gotten our hands on like the new bits yet and really gotten into it. So it's very much just like,
lots of hypotheticals, lots of, like, well, wait a minute, they said this, but how would that even work in the larger context of all this other stuff? You know what I mean? Some of that stuff at WWDC, you know, they spec out and they tell you about it, but it's hard to see how it's actually going to help you until you integrate it into an app and all of a sudden you can delete, like, classes out of your code, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think because is at the time, like, it just leads to more sort of confusion just because we don't really know what's going on yet. And because of that, I think that, you know, sometimes the tech talk videos that come out a few months later have more interesting information than like the sort of related WWDC topic, because now it's been in people's hands. Apple's gotten feedback via radars of, like, you know, what's working, what's not working, and then they can tailor these tech talks and kind of like loop back around and be like, okay, people are clearly having a problem with this. So, like, here's some more interesting details. Like, there's a lot of great stuff from the tech talks this year on view controller containment that was not in the original WWDC sessions.
Right, right.
Like, I think those do a great job of, like, balancing, you know, technical, but it's not
the tech
overly talks. Technical. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen those, actually.
You should check them out. Overall, I didn't want this to go too negative. Like, and as
North
is great,
all
the speakers did a great job. Like, meeting all these new people was fantastic.
Yeah. And whether or not
I wanted to geek out a little bit more.
Yeah, and I think that's totally reasonable. I think it's as reasonable for, you know, you to want, not just you, I'm not putting that, I do wish there had been more, like, hard technical topics done. But, and I think it's as reasonable for, like, us to want that as it is for other people to want more of the, you know, I'm sure that there's people that were like, this is exactly the content that I was looking for, you know. I don't think there's anything wrong about that either. I don't think there's anything wrong about either of those things. It's just people want different things. I enjoyed it. I mean, I came last year. I'll almost certainly, assuming they do another one next year, I'll probably be here again a year from now. Even if it's just to hang out with the people that are now my friends that I see at NS North, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, there's just all these amazing Canadian developers that can't make it or don't make it to WWDC. So, like, there's most of the U.S. developers that came here, I will see at WWDC, because they either live in San Francisco or it's, like, a short trip over to get to San Francisco, and it's not that big of a deal to go to WWDC. But for a lot of the Canadian developers, I do get the sense that it's a bigger deal to get, you know, I got to go all the way into the States and I got to get all the way to San Francisco. You know, the same thing as you having to, you know, get all the way out here. Like, San Francisco to Ottawa, that's not a small trip, you know what I mean? It's like, it took me, you know, 2 quick jumps on a plane where they give you free beer and I have insane amounts of legroom. You know what I mean? It's not that from...
Yeah. I mean, I left the house at 6 a.m. I got into this room at 8 p.m.
Right.
Like, it was traveling all day.
Yeah. That's exhausting. That's exhausting no matter where you're going. That's exhausting no matter what. So I understand those people that are from Ottawa, from Toronto, not wanting to... Or not that they don't want to, but it's more unreasonable to have them come into the States and also get out to San Francisco. But so it's nice to have something like this where I can come and hang out with them and drink too much and make an ass out of myself, you know? Bottom line is, like, I want to be an equal opportunist when it comes to seeing me drunk in a bar saying stupid shit.
Like, right. You know. This isn't just a domestic affair.
Like, no.
You take this shit on the road.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I want to make sure everyone knows how much of an idiot I am.
It's been really good getting out of the States. So I've been to Canada once. I was 8?
Yeah.
9, 10? Really young. Like, not young enough, or not old enough, I mean, to really appreciate, like, the difference of, like, you know, being out of the United States.
Right.
Like, this time around, like, I'm appreciating the hell out of it. Right. There's just the right amount of culture shock.
Yeah.
But, like, not enough where, like, I keep remembering that I'm not in the States and that I just try to pay with U.S. dollars and they begrudgingly take it. Like, and things like that. Right. But it's been, like, a really great experience. Like, right. at the very least, you know, getting me out and, like you said, meeting Canadian developers that don't, you know, make it into the States for conferences too often has been great. Like, they're just great people all the way around.
Yeah. So what do you think important takeaways of the conference, whether it's stuff that you heard or from conversations or just overall general experience, like, what are you walking away from here? What do you think the most important thing that you're walking away from here is?
So David Smith gave a really good talk on, like, how your experiences are uniquely yours and that everybody has these locked up inside of them.
Yeah.
And in sort of a weird way, that has, like, reduced my imposter syndrome. Because I guess the way that I've done that is that I've kind of, like, pushed it on to everyone else. And I'm like, hey, none of these people really know what they're talking about either. So I feel a lot better.
It's not that you're not an idiot. It's just that everyone's going to be an idiot.
Yeah, it's just that we're all just kind of, like, in this together.
Right, yeah.
So, like, I definitely feel better about that.
Yeah.
I don't mean to tear everyone down and to get there, but, I mean, that's just kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think the same thing.
I just have a better awareness of the average developer. Like, it's too often that, like, all we see are the sort of high-profile folks on Twitter, and you just kind of feel dumb.
Yeah.
But then you meet, like, the everyday folks who are, like, out there building great apps all the time, and you're like, you know, I'm not too different from, like, all these people.
Yeah. Because, like, my imposter syndrome, while you're saying that, my imposter syndrome is going, like, well, but they're all better than I am. You know what I mean? Like, I rarely meet anyone and don't, like, have that internal monologue with myself about, like, yeah, we're basically at the same place, but they're just generally better at it than I am. So I think, you know, the same talk for me kind of leaves me in a place where it's like, instead of getting myself to be okay with they're better than I am, being like, they're better at this than I am. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But that doesn't mean that I don't have things that I can also contribute. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm not going to be able to help them with the core animation stuff because I'm not super great at core animation stuff. But maybe there's other things that I'm potentially better at or that I'm just further, one step further along in the chain, right? There's someone, not to keep jumping back to testing, but, like, there's definitely someone out there that is doing today the stuff that I did yesterday.
Yep.
And so, and that's one of the things that David Smith was talking about, right? Like, even developers on their second day of ever touching Xcode have something to offer. Because if it's your second day of touching Xcode, there's someone who is their first day of touching Xcode. And those people really want to know what you learned yesterday,
mm-hmm.
right? They really need help getting past that
yeah.
initial hurdle.
Yeah. I think perception is that like the high-profile people we see sort of have the whole package, but that's right. not really true. Like,
no.
everybody has their specialty. Like, focus on your specialty. Play to that. Yeah. You know, try to build up your other skills. And, like, realize that, you know, if we work together, we can, like, combine our specialties and do great things.
Yeah.
Like, that, I think that's the crux of it.
Yeah.
Overall, highly recommended, NS North.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I think they did a great, I think, you know, Dan and Phil did a great job this year. If this is only the second year, honestly, like, it was just so well put together. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm really, really, really interested to see what, like, year three looks like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What did they learn this year that's going to make next year, like, even better, right? What can they fix from this year that's going to be, like, show up here, you know, in Ottawa in 2015, and it's like, holy crap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really cool.
If they happen to be listening, one suggestion for next year is to find a venue that does not block specific ports.
Yeah, that was brutal. Like, that was really brutal. So we were at this, the museum, and the museum had free Wi-Fi, but the museum Wi-Fi blocked, I don't think it blocked specific ports, but it only whitelisted HTTP and HTTPS ports, from
right.
what I could tell. So that means that SSH is gone, and even email wouldn't work on the Wi-Fi. So the two things that I do more than anything else on my laptop, like, you know, I couldn't pull anything on Git, I couldn't clone repositories, I couldn't do really anything. There were parts where it was downtime where I was like, oh, I'll look at these pull requests that I have open on some, you know, some whatever. Literally couldn't do any of that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just couldn't pull the code down. And then beyond that, like, not being able to get my email at all. But then my phone is also hooked up to the Wi-Fi too, so I don't even realize it, but I'm not getting email on my phone either. And that kind of sucks. So I did buy a data plan, and I bought a small amount of minutes for my phone while I was up here. But I would like to use Wi-Fi so that I don't even come close to running over on my data plan. If I'm sitting at the venue all day on Wi-Fi, where my email is literally blocked from coming in, then the second I leave Wi-Fi, I'm going to download 100 emails. And that's going to jack up my data usage real quick.
Yeah.
You know?
That was kind of a bummer. I mean, with that said, the network handled the load really well of having like 150 people in that room, along with the normal people visiting the museum as
right.
well. I never really had it drop out on me, which is fine. Like, you know, you're going to do web browsing and stuff. It's,
yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
That's my one minor nit.
Yeah.
You look beat.
Wrap it up.
Yeah.
Show notes for this episode are going to be found at podcasts.thoughtbot.com/buildphase/38.
And please reach out on app.net or Twitter at buildphase, or email us at buildphase@thoughtbot.com. Also, we really appreciate reviews and ratings on iTunes.
All right.
Yeah.
Talk to you later. Like, in a second.